One of the things that the speaker said at the praise and worship prayer time that we had for this event, he got up and read this scripture, and it really inspired me, and I wanted to start this sermon with it. He read from Exodus 2, 23 through 24. Exodus 2, 23 through 24. This is the Israelites. And it says, "Now it came about in the course of those many days that the king of Egypt died. And the sons of Israel sighed because of the bondage, and they cried out. And their cry for help because of their bondage rose up to God. So God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They cried out." He said it almost seems like they hadn't cried out before. How long have they been in bondage? And now are they just now crying out? And he said that's what we need to do. We need to cry out. And we begin to pray and cry out to God for souls to be saved. The harvest is ripe. Pray for laborers to go and collect the harvest in the fields. So he said, let's cry out to God. And he used this. And I got to thinking, you know, that's good. That's a good point. I feel like we probably have a good grasp on crying out to God. We probably cry out to God quite a bit, and that's good. And I felt like God stopped me at that point and said, do you? Really? And so I just began to study about it, and I come to this scripture, one of probably many people's favorite scriptures, Proverbs 3, 5 through 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Or direct your paths is how I've learned it. Let's say it all together. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Lean not on your own understanding. Do not lean on your own understanding. And I begin to pray about and study this idea of leaning on the everlasting arm. Leaning. Right. Well, that's a good one. I like that one. But we are to lean on God. So I begin to study and think about this, leaning. One of the things that God, I feel like, taught me about this leaning was, first off, what leaning is not. And I noticed that there are three dangerous leans in our culture today that I want to address. Three dangerous leans in our culture. Number one, hyper self-reliance. Number two, a reliance of convenience. And number three, a twisted reliance. Okay, we're going to talk about all three of these and give you some examples. Number one, a hyper self-reliance. 2 Corinthians 3, 5. Not that we are adequate in ourselves to consider anything is coming from ourselves, but our adequacy is from God. Christianity is not a DIY project. You need Jesus, right? You need Jesus. Paul says it also again in 2 Corinthians 1, 9. Indeed, we had the sentence of death within ourselves so that we would not trust in ourselves, but trust in God who raises the dead. On one side of this spectrum that we're going to look at today, we see a culture in America that says, oh, I'm enough. I can do this. I can do it. I am good enough. I do all the right things, and I don't do the wrong things. I don't drink, smoke, chew, or go with the girls that do. So I'm good to go. I should get into heaven. That's self-righteousness. Now, a lot of times, we won't literally say those words or say those things out loud, but does our life reflect the fact that we have a trust in our own good deeds for our righteousness? We like to merit our righteousness. It's kind of human nature, especially for people that lean towards this type of culture. Merit your own righteousness. John 15:5, Jesus says, "I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." It's a big goose egg. Jesus also told a parable about the Pharisee and the publican in Luke 18:9-14. And basically he just tells them that there was about the Pharisee that said, "Oh God, I do all of these wonderful things. I pay my tithes, I give to the poor, I do this, I do that. I'm so glad I'm not like this tax collector, because that dude is a sinner." God says, that's not how this works, not at all. That's a self-reliance. Even Jesus, during his time on earth physically, needed to lean on God. In John 5:19-20, Jesus said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself unless it is something he sees the Father doing. For what the Father does, these things the Son also does in like manner." Now, a lot of us, we know to do good, we know to lean on God, and we have God nearby, and he's close all the time. But we only really, truly lean on God when we get in a tight spot. Now, I related it to this. If you have a bunch of stuff in your garage, for example, and you have only a pathway to get through to your tools, not that this is true for me, but let's just say that, you know, you've all been there. Maybe a room in your house that you use for storage. Your center of gravity gets narrow, and you have to squeeze through things. And then you get that tight spot, and then you have a tendency to lean on the wall. You lean on the wall, okay, I got this. And then when you get through the tight spot, you're okay. And we think, you know, that's good because I always have the wall nearby. I can always lean on it when I need to. We always have God close by because we do the right things and everything. We talk to him on occasionally, but I don't lean on him constantly. Lean on God constantly is what the Bible teaches. Let's go to number two, the reliance of convenience. Also in this country, and we have the other swing of the pendulum goes over to a culture that has a reliance of convenience. They say, whatever you put in front of me, I'm going to trust, I'm going to take advantage of, and I'm going to lean on. Whoever wants to give me, give me, give me, I will trust. Whatever's handy. My culture seems to trust in this, and so I will too. A lot of my people that I hang out with trust in this news station. I will too. It's like whatever's nearby, whatever the culture has around us and presents to us, they lean on it. It's like when you know someone that's hurt your back or hurt their back really bad, but they don't want to use crutches or anything, but for a couple of days they're leaning on everything that's nearby. I'm going to lean on that. Lean on this mic stand to get over here. I got to lean on this. I got to lean on. You know, have you ever been there? Anybody else? I've done this. Jill's seen me do this a few times. you're leaning on everything to get around the house, a guitar stand, and then a chair and a table, or your school, or your government, or the church, or the list goes on and on. Whatever's around, we lean on it. Culture slowly begins to infiltrate what we trust. Hello. Let's look at a couple of examples. Leviticus 18:3-4, God told Israelites several times, be careful about allowing other cultures, their practices, into your practices. Not that you're not supposed to love them or be around them, but beware of allowing their practices into your culture. This says, you shall not do what is done in the land of Egypt where you lived, nor are you to do what is done in the land of Canaan where I am bringing you. You shall not walk in their statute. You are to perform my judgments and keep my statutes to live in accord with them. I am the Lord your God. Lean on God first. Paul also talks about it in 2 Corinthians 6:16. Or what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of the living God. Just as God said, I will dwell in them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from their midst and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will welcome you. And I will be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. It's good news if we will know who to trust and lean on first. We have to trust in God first. Okay? Number three, we have a twisted reliance. I want to be careful with this one, okay? But I believe this is in obedience with God. And I will say, this part of the sermon has nothing to do with any type of conversation that I've had with any of you. No, really, I'm serious. It does not. But I am serious about this. I'm not suggesting that I've found an unhealthy view of things in our culture from this church, just so you know. Twisted reliance. Let's talk about that. Let's just get down to brass tacks. Now, I'm going to give you a Bible on this one too. Some people have a twisted reliance. Arbitrarily using a proclaimed trust in God to benefit your situation or your pride. This is a tough one. It's trust without wisdom or understanding. It's a trust of deception. I want to read a couple of uses here in the Old Testament that people used trust and leaning on God for their own gain or for propaganda. In Micah 3:9, this happened. Prophecy. Now hear this, heads of the house of Jacob and rulers of the house of Israel, who abhor justice and twist everything that is straight, who build Zion with bloodshed and Jerusalem with violent injustice. Her leaders pronounce judgment for a bribe. They have a twisted government. Sounds like. Her priests instruct for a price, and her prophets divine for money. Yet they lean on the Lord, saying, is not the Lord in our midst? Calamity will not come upon us. Well, that sounds like a great message. The Lord is in our midst. Calamity will not come upon us. You're going to get away with everything. You see, prophets were more successful when they spoke good prophecies, when they spoke good words. So they made more money this way. And they said, listen, God is amongst us, which is true, right? That's good. That's biblical. I like that. Calamity will not come upon us. Verse 12. Therefore, on account of you, Zion will be plowed as a field. Jerusalem will become a heap of ruins, and the mountain of the temple will become high places of a forest. They used their trust in leaning on God, even some Bible thrown in there, for their own gain and for their own propaganda. It happened again in Jeremiah, real quick. Jeremiah 14, 13 through 14. Jeremiah is another Old Testament prophet, and he's talking to God here. Oh, Lord God, I said, look, the prophets are telling them, you will not see the sword, nor will you have famine, but I will give you lasting peace in this place. Then the Lord said to me, the prophets are prophesying falsehood in my name. I have neither sent them, nor commanded them, nor spoken to them. They are prophesying to you a false vision, divination, futility, and deception of their own minds. God said, I didn't tell them to say that. What God did say is, if you will humble yourself and pray, I will heal your land. He did tell them that. But a lot of times they try to put out this blanket statement. They twisted their trust in God and made it, turned it into propaganda. Some people may be using the Bible and their faith as propaganda to stir up emotional support and all that comes with it. I just want to encourage you, please be careful of what you claim to be the gospel or believe to be the gospel. I believe God's going to keep me safe and keep me healthy. I'm going to believe in that at all times. But I still take vitamins. Yeah? That makes sense? I believe God's going to keep me safe. But if I get on an ocean liner, I'm going to have a life jacket nearby. I'm going to make sure that ocean liner has lifeboats. I don't need lifeboats. I'm not getting on this cruise until you take those lifeboats away. God's going to keep me safe. Well, you know, I believe that too. I have faith. It's not a lack of faith to take some medicine or to take some preventive medicine or to stop eating things that are bad for you. I believe God's going to keep me safe and healthy, but I need to stop eating a little less ice cream. But not today. No, not today. I'm just saying. I'm just making a point. Pat, you can go ahead and eat ice cream. Now, I will say this. I heard a preacher say on a video this last week, I don't need the vaccine, I have Jesus. Personally, I think that is incorrect, false teaching. And it could be that that person may be one of those wolves in sheep's clothing that Jesus was talking about. I don't believe the vaccine is a biblical or spiritual factor in your life, except for the fact that you need to pray about your decisions you make. If you pray about it, God says, I don't think you should take that vaccine. I'm just going to tell you right now, you're not the person for the vaccine. Don't take it. But if you pray about it and God says, yeah, if you want to take it, that's fine. You're a good candidate. Go ahead. Then take it. Now, it's not a government thing to me. if the government tries to tell this church how to worship, and that we should no longer worship God, but they've got some other idols and stuff, listen, I'm going to be the first one at the front door ready for them to take me away to do whatever they want. But this isn't that, in my opinion. And I think we need to be careful what people claim to be the gospel. Find it in the Bible. Pray about it. This has to be a relationship between you and God. It's a leaning involving wisdom and understanding. There's things that I need, even though I know Jesus is going to take care of me. There's safety precautions that I use when I drive my car, even though I have faith in God. He's going to keep me safe. That's my opinion. And we also need each other. So on this one, when we talk about a twisted reliance, I want to talk about a reliance that is with understanding and wisdom. In other words, all my trust is God. Primarily, I'm going to trust God. But there will be times that I will have to trust in my church. I will have to trust in my staff, my family, and my friends. I will have to trust in other things. But God is primary. We can't make things so black and white. It's got to be this way or it's got to be this way. No, that's where the crazy people live. Let's be happy, being sensible and understanding. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25, he says this, "Let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." We can have trust in each other. God is primary, but we can have trust in our church. As a matter of fact, this country, as with all country, needs some sort of government and rule and control. People don't do well when you let everybody do whatever they want to do. So we can rely on that, but God is my primary. Lining up with the government of God is going to put me above anything that the government, any other government is going to put on me anyway. And until a government requests something of me that is against the Bible and against my beliefs and what God has told me to do, until that happens, everything's going to be fine. We're going to keep going. Our state of lean has a top rank, and that should be God. There's other things to lean on underneath that, but God is primary. So, in these three, culture tells us there's a hyper self-reliance. I can do this. You're good enough. You don't need anybody. You're all you need. The Bible tells us lean on God constantly. And number two, some cultures tell us there's a reliance of convenience. Hey, it's here. It's handy. They're giving it out. We're going to just lean on whatever culture leans on. Whatever religion is popular right now, we're going to lean on that. The Bible teaches us lean on God first. And then there's this twisted reliance when some people are using their trust arbitrarily or inappropriately. Lean on God primarily with understanding and wisdom. Be in a continual state of lean. So, lean. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. And I thought, okay, God, what does lean look like? And he told me, It reminded me about the other examples that I have, leaning in a tight spot, leaning occasionally, and leaning on a lot of other things. And we're not allowing any flash photography this morning. But this is what I thought of. Because with this thing, if I use it correctly, I'm in a constant state of lean. No pictures, I said, John. This would look bad on social media. A constant state of lean. Actually, I found these things are pretty handy. I was messing with it in the office, and I go and talk to Keith like this for hours. It's just nice. But a continual state of lean. Now, here's what's interesting. I can trust this. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not into your own understanding. I can trust this contraption right here without leaning on it. I trust it. I know that it's going to work. I've tried it. And then I realized trust has to go a little bit further. And I come up with this math equation. Trust plus surrender equals lean. You can trust something without leaning on it. But when you lean on it, you surrender your weight and you surrender your balance. So in my life, when I'm leaning on God, and there's weighty stuff in my life. Listen, a lot of people have very weighty things going on in your life and in your family right now. That weight needs to be surrendered if you're really leaning on God. You cast that care to God. He's the only one that can handle it anyway. A continual state of lean. And sometimes balance gets off. I've got so many things that we're juggling in life. And if we're not careful, we don't even realize it, and our lives have got out of balance. Our spirituality and our family, our marriage, our friends, our job and education even can sometimes get out of kilter. And we have to surrender that balance to God, a continual state of lean. The other thing that he taught me about this is that sometimes we don't always have this contraption close enough, or we're using it, we're just keeping it close. My wife and I used to do a service on Sunday afternoons at an assisted living center. And we had this one sister, she was so beautiful in her spirit. She was like 92 years old, but spry, would come every Sunday and all this kind of stuff. And we watched her through the years. She got to where if she stood up, she would get dizzy and fall. And so they got her one of these. And she would use it going somewhere, and then she would forget that it was there. And she would walk off. In her own understanding, she could walk, stand, and do whatever she needed to do. In her own understanding. It took a lot of time for her to learn that she needs to take this wherever she's going, right? Every other Sunday, Jill had to go help her find where her walker was. Mary, where's your walker? I don't know. I've left it somewhere. And Jill would retrace the steps, and they'd have to go find the walker. And sometimes we're like that with God. He's nearby. We keep him handy. You know, church is there. We do a church. We give tithes. We do stuff like this. But are we ever surrendering our weight and our balance on him at all times? Because we have to do that. We have to call on God. You know, We are designed to be partners with God. He designed us that way. 1 Corinthians 3:9 says, we are God's fellow workers. We're designed to partner with Him. He wants a relationship with you. He wants to be with you. Call on Him. It's time we call on God and lean on Him constantly, first and primarily. Would you stand with me if you would, please?